Good morning. It's Friday, 12th of February. Our New Testament reading for the day is Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read to you once again from Brother Melva Purkis. I read, "In warning his disciples against the Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus did not speak of the leaven of each, but of the leaven that was common to the two. We have seen that superficially the two parties were widely different. The one was strict, intensely nationalistic, and preoccupied with ritual. The other was lax, sympathetic to outside culture and philosophy, and sceptical. The leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy. The leaven of the Sadducees was materialism. Each had to be avoided. Yet they had joined on the opposite shore in common cause, and therefore the leaven to be particularly careful of was the result of their attitude to Christ. The key to the danger takes us back to the charges Jesus had already laid against them. His accusation was that as sign seekers they were wicked, adulterous and blind. It was an accusation levelled against them for their common attitude to the things of God. They were all of this world. The Pharisees, in their hypocrisy, used their devotions to be seen of men, and, patronizing this world, they had their reward. The Sadducees, in their scepticism and license, made little pretense of seeking anything other than temporal rewards. Both parties joined in hostility against Jesus because he represented the things of God. Both were ungodly, alive to self and dead to God." If our study of the life of Jesus is to bear fruit truly in our own lives, we must be continually learning the lessons in which it abounds. The leaven against which Jesus warned his disciples has not been destroyed. Hypocrisy is not extinct, nor materialism. They unite in that baser leaven of ungodliness, which can, by its very nature, permeate our lives and estrange us from Christ and his kingdom. Before Jesus and his disciples left the village of Bethsaida to begin their journey northwards, the people brought a blind man and besought Jesus to touch him. He did not comply with their request. Instead, we have the moving and significant picture of Jesus leading the blind man by the hand and taking him out of the town into the country, where he would be free from the embarrassments of the crowds and where his first vision would be of the creative works of God and of the Saviour who was the beginning of God's new creation. This healing differs from similar miracles because it was performed gradually. First, Jesus put his own saliva on the man's eyes, touched them, and asked him if he saw. The man looked up and with blurred vision saw in the distance the crowds from the town coming out towards him. "I see," he said, "men as trees walking." Once more Jesus touched him, and this time, looking up, he saw every man clearly. We may wonder why Jesus thus delayed the perfect cure. Without the instruction afforded by the record, we do not know. Even then, we can only reverently surmise, being careful to avoid presumption. Thus, it would seem, as it has often been shown in the Gospels, that the answer lies in the imperfect faith of the sufferer. This man did not come to Jesus himself. He was brought to him by the townsfolk. Even when he stood before him, he had no word of supplication. The people appealed on his behalf. In this we see a further object in Jesus leading him out of the town. As we have noticed before in cases of immature faith, Jesus sought to perfect it in the process of healing. The lesson and the warning of this miracle can be clearly seen. According to our faith, will our spiritual vision be. Thank you for listening.